God, how would you like to try getting along without him? For example, try breathing without the air that he provides. Try eating and drinking without the food and water he gives us if you think there is no God. You know, people need to think about that. It's no wonder that Paul said what he did about God when he talked to those people in Athens, and he preached to them, "For in him, that is in God, we live and move and have our very being." Acts 17, verse 28. Without God, there is no way that you could exist, no way at all. If you don't think that's true, just try it for a while and let me know how you come out, if you're still around, that is. So the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. Surely there is." The psalmist said in Psalm 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." As we talked about in our Bible class this morning, the things that God has created and displayed in the heavens for everyone to see cries out that he does exist, and he is real, and he is all-powerful. Paul told the Romans, think about this statement in Romans 1 and verse 20. He says, "For the invisible things of him," that is, the attributes of God that cannot be observed directly or seen, he said, "they're from the creation of the world are clearly seen." So they're seen how? If they're invisible, how can you see them? Well, he talks about that. They're seen in that they're understood. He says, "being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Just look at the sky above you, the sun, the moon, the stars, if you think there is no God. Look at how this world operates, everything working in harmony with absolute precision and accuracy, if you think there is no God. Do you honestly think that all of this just happened by chance? I don't think so. But the so-called science community would have us believe that everything that we observe came about as a result of a giant explosion called the Big Bang. Just a random explosion of particles or matter and energy, which all arose out of nothing, by the way, that resulted in all the intricate beauty that we observe around us. Do you really think that's true? Let me ask you a question. How did you get here? Are you the result of something arising out of nothing? Surely not. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, the Bible tells us exactly how it is that we came to be here. And we were created by the God of heaven. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So that's how you got here. That's how I got here. In fact, the Bible says that man is created in the very image of God. Let me read that to you from Genesis 1, 26 to 27. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's how we got here. We didn't evolve from something that flopped out of the water 4 million years ago and eventually grew into a man and a woman. We were created by the God of heaven. But not only does the Bible tell us how we got here, the Bible also tells us why we're here. Have you ever thought about that? You think that's important? The reason that you and I are here. Well, I take you this time to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, wrong passage, apologize there. The passage we want is in verse 13. So, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 that we're here for two simple reasons. You know what those are? A wise man wrote this, and he tried everything he could. He tried wealth. He tried wisdom. He tried pleasure. You name it, he tried it. And he said, "I've come to this conclusion." Solomon, let me ask you, what conclusion did you come to? He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's why you're here, to fear God and to keep his commandments. So the Bible tells us how we got here, why we're here, and one other thing, where we're going. You know, sometimes people make the statement, we're all headed to the same place, just taking different paths. You know, and I agree with that. And you know where that is? To the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we're all headed, whether we realize it or not. But that's where the separation will begin. We're all going to have to stand before God and give an account of our life. And at the end of that, the verdict will be read. People that did not believe, the atheists out here that said that there is no God, who were not obedient to the world, will be cast into eternal punishment. But the righteous, those who obey the gospel, will be granted eternal life. Listen to the words of the Savior in Matthew 25 and verse 46. He says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's where we're all going. That's where we're all headed, to stand before God in judgment and to be judged there according to our works. And that's when the separation will begin. But I'll tell you something, though. You are acting a fool if you say otherwise, if you say there is no God. You certainly didn't learn that from reading the Bible, and you certainly didn't learn that from observing the world around about you. Look at the category the Lord puts you in when you say there is no God. But let me give you another example of acting a fool. Another thing that the foolish person does is that the fool leaves God out of his plans. Have you ever done anything like that? Maybe you have. Well, there's a story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 12, about an individual who did all sorts of planning, but left God completely out of it. And in Luke chapter 12, in verse 13, the Lord gives a parable. And the reason the Lord gave this parable was because people thought that a man's life consisted in the abundance of the things that he possesses, but it doesn't. On that particular occasion, one of Jesus' disciples wanted the Savior to divide the inheritance between him and his brother. Jesus refused to do that, and he gave this illustration about one who trusted in his riches, but left God completely out of his plans. So let's read that together. Beginning in verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. By the way, look at all the personal pronouns. Look at how selfish this person was. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So that was his plan. Do you think the Lord approved of it? No, he didn't. Verse 20. God said unto him, do you know what God said to this fellow who did all this planning but left God completely out of it? You know what he called him? A fool. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The Lord said we are a fool when we think that our life consists of the abundance of the things that we possess. You can't trust in your possession. They can become corrupted, burned down, stolen, and gone forever. And that's the point Jesus made in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. When he told the people, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, he says, lay not up treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For whether neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, he says, there will your heart be also. Somebody says, well, that guy was in awfully bad shape, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. But what about us? I need to read one more verse. I need to go back to Luke and read verse 21. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This is where the application falls on you and me. This is what Jesus said. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Think about that. The Lord says an individual is foolish if he does all of his life's planning and leaves God completely out of it. Let me ask you, have you left God out of your plans? Or have you made arrangements to include God in your activities? Since there is a God, by the way. Have you been acting a fool in regards to your life's planning? If you haven't included God in them, then you have. So don't make that mistake. But there's another thing that the foolish person does, or rather does not do, and that is number three. The fool does not study his Bible. You know, the scriptures place a lot of emphasis on reading and studying this sacred volume, such as Ephesians 5 and verse 17, where Paul made this statement. It says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So point number three, you are a fool if you make no effort to read and study this holy book, the Bible. And there are a lot of people who fall into that category, unfortunately. Maybe even some of us that are here. I don't know. But if that's true, it doesn't change what I'm saying. We have to have the desire to study and understand this book, or else we'll be in the category of being foolish. Proverbs 3 and verse 13 says this, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Again, Proverbs 18 and verse 2. The wise man says, a fool, there's my subject, hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. In other words, the fool doesn't care what this book says. He has the attitude that it doesn't make any difference. In Jeremiah 4 and verse 22, the weeping prophet Jeremiah penned these words. He says, for my people, notice that he's talking about his own people, the Israelites of the Old Testament. He says, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Think about that statement. That's sad, isn't it? To think that God's own people were in that condition and they were in that shape. They had the attitude of, I don't care what this book says. I'm not going to spend any time studying it. I know in and of myself, right? They look to themselves rather than God's word. And that's their big mistake. Yet the Bible tells us and emphasizes many times that we need to spend time with God's word, meditating on it, reading it, studying it, sharing it with others. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, he says, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to have the desire to do that. And that's the reason we have Bible study. That's the reason we have these services, so that we can come together and study the word, that we may divide it and apply those lessons in our daily lives. So we all need to spend more time reading and studying the sacred pages. If you don't, do you know what category the Lord puts you in? Have you gotten the point yet? If we don't do that, we're acting a fool, and we don't want to do that. So that's another thing that the foolish person does. But let me share with you something else about a fool. And that is number four. The Bible teaches that a person is acting a fool when they despise their father's instructions. We talked a little bit about this morning. You know, a lot of boys and girls think they know a lot more than their parents. And maybe we've been guilty of that ourselves in thinking that. I made the statement this morning. Mark Twain was quoted one time of saying, when he was 17 years old, my daddy is the dumbest man I have ever seen. And then when he was 21, He says, I don't know how my father learned so much in 4 short years. And I always like that statement, right? Because it shows you who really did the learning. Was it his dad or was it him? It was him, right? Because he grew up and he understood that, you know, my parents, my father has some wisdom that I haven't even considered yet. And so one thing that the Bible teaches in regard to that is a fool, though, he will despise, he will not listen to his father's instructions. And so that's a big mistake. In Proverbs 15 and verse 5, this is what Solomon said about that. It says, a fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You know, you might say, well, my dad doesn't know anything. I'm smarter than he is, really. Well, don't underestimate the wisdom of your parents. They've been around a while. They've had a lot of experiences that you haven't even thought about. They've probably forgotten more than you know. And so we need to listen to our parents and their advice. So don't despise your father's instructions. Listen to them. You might not always agree, but you don't have to be disrespectful toward your parents. Paul said in Ephesians 6, 1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So why is it that children should obey their parents? The reason that the apostle gives is pretty simple. For this is right. It's the right thing to do. And so if you need a reason to obey your parents, there it is right there. For this is right, he says. And do you want to live a long time? Sure, we all do. A lot of young people, though, cut their lives short by not listening to their father's instructions, by showing disrespect to their parents. So it's important that we're not guilty of that. But again, what the foolish say and do. You know, sometimes folks trust in their own heart rather than the Word of God. But if you trust in your own heart rather than the Word of God, the Bible says you are a fool. Again, we turn to the book of Proverbs. This time, Proverbs 28 and verse 26. The wise man says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. That means you think more of your own thinking than God's. But you really think that's true? Do you really think that you're smarter than God? Of course not. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. You see, it's the Lord who knows what's right and wrong. Over and over again, the scriptures emphasize the fact that God's thoughts and man's thoughts are not always equal, are they? Like in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 that we saw earlier today, where the prophet says, regarding God's thinking, he says, for my thought, your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When you compare the two, God's thoughts and man's thoughts are far lower than the Lord's. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so his thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways. So the next time you get to thinking about how smart you are, just remember the Lord said you're a fool when you get to thinking that way. In fact, the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's one reason that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, said this. He says, oh Lord, I know. Jeremiah, what is it that you know? He says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. So the next time you get to thinking, well, I'll just direct my own steps, remember that it's not in man who walketh to do that. By the way, I could do an entire lesson on the statement, I thought. Did you know that every time just about the Bible character made the statement, behold, I thought, they were wrong? For example, Naaman the leper. Remember that story in 2 Kings 5? What did he think? He says, behold, I thought that the prophet would come out and wave his hands and do some kind of elaborate ceremony and get rid of my leprosy. But that's not what he did, was it? And he told him simply to just go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. But that's not what Naaman thought was going to happen, but he was wrong. Or the time when the rich man thought within himself to pull down his barns and build greater. He was wrong as well. Or maybe even Saul of Tarsus. Before he was a Christian, he thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. But he was just as wrong as he could be. And when he gave his defense before King, he basically said that he was acting a fool when he did that. And guess what? So are you. And so am I if we trust in our own heart. You might as well mark that down in whatever book you mark things down in. So the next time you get to thinking, I know the Bible says such and such, but hold it right there. Don't be foolish. But instead, be wise, like the scriptures emphasize that we must. But again, what the foolish say and do. Another characteristic of a fool is that a fool will get angry too easily. By the way, do you have that problem? Do you have the problem of controlling your temper? You know, we probably all face that at one time or another. But point number six, the Bible says we are foolish when we let anger get the best of us, when we fly off the handle. Let me show you that. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. The wise man said again, be not hasty or quick in thy spirit to be angry. By the way, do you know where anger resides? He says, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. You know, there are some people out there that'll just fly off the handle at the drop of a hat. But the Lord says you are a fool when you do that. But why is that true? Well, first of all, it's true because the Lord said. It's also true because anger makes you do foolish things. There's no telling what you might do if you get angry enough. You might curse. You might sin with your tongue. You might say something to someone that you didn't want to say that to. You might break something you didn't intend to break. You might hurt yourself or somebody else. You might even kill somebody. There are people out here that'll get so angry that they'll do that, right? Happens all the time. So you need to be careful when you get angry. And that's what James talked about in James 1, 19 and 20. When he exhorted these brethren, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, he says, worketh not the righteousness of God. So we need to have a long fuse rather than a short fuse. We need to be long-suffering with people. And when things don't go the way that we expected, we need to have patience and not let anger overcome our thinking. Because when that happens, there's no telling what a person might do. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So it's not wrong to get angry. Even the Lord got angry from time to time. But the thing is we're to let that anger, we're to keep that in and to sin not. And to get it out of our system before the sun goes down, he says. Because if you let anger build up inside you, that's just going to cause problems. He says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So don't let anger reside in your bosom, because if you do, do you know what category the Lord puts you in? The category of being a fool. And you don't want to be foolish, do you? Sometimes it's easier said than done, but we have to learn how to do that. We need to learn how to control our temper. But there's another thing that the fool does. And that is number seven. The fool talks all the time, but doesn't listen. You know, some people talk so much that they must like hearing the sound of their own voice. You know anybody like that? Maybe you got somebody in your family like that. Or maybe you know somebody at your work or school who just seems to want to talk all the time. Well, notice what the wise man said about that in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 2. And 3, he says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is where? He's in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. You might underscore that phrase. Let thy words be few. He says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known. How? By multitude of words. I like those statements, don't you? Some folks just like to talk, talk, and talk. Well, if the Bible says if you do that, you're acting a fool. You need to learn to listen once in a while. Listening is underrated these days, I think, but you can learn a lot just by listening. By the way, what do people think about you when you listen rather than talk? Well, a person that spares his words is counted as being a wise person. Notice in Proverbs 17, 27 to 28. Solomon, you recognize this. He says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, he says, when he holdeth his peace is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So if you want people to think you're wise, don't talk so much. Especially if you're a younger person. Let those who are older and wiser and more experienced do most of the talking. You know, one of Job's friends, Elihu, said in Job 32 and verse 7, says, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Why? Well, that's because they've more know. They know more than we do. They've been around longer. They have more life experiences. And that's why he waited until the end to give his opinion, because he was the youngest. Job 12 to 13 says, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. So we all need to listen more and talk less. At the very least, we need to learn to think before we speak. Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. But that's something that a fool will do, though. Talk too much. And maybe I'm even guilty of that tonight. But there's just one more point, and then the lesson will be yours. Last but not least, the Bible classifies an individual as being a fool when they hear the word of God but do nothing about it. Did you know that you're acting a fool when you hear the word of God but fail to obey? How do I know that? Somebody asked. Well, there's a little story that Matthew records in Matthew 7. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, gave the story of two men. One was wise and one was foolish. And by reading this, we can discern the difference between the two. He says, beginning in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. What would you think of a builder who was going to build your brand new house on a big pile of sand? Would you be happy with that? Not to have any foundation at all. Of course, we would be upset about that. Because when the rains come and the winds blow and all those things begin to happen, that house is going to fall. And that's what Jesus says. In verse 27, he says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Do you know what that story is about? It's about when you hear the word of God, you need to do something about it. If you hear the word of God and just go on your merry way and forget what you've heard, it's like building a house on sand. And James talked about that in James chapter 1. He talked about how people looking into the perfect law of liberty, which is a mirror of the soul. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now you don't want to be guilty of that, do you? You don't want to be foolish about your soul. The soul is made in the image of God, as we talked about earlier today. It's eternal. It's the most valuable possession that we own, and one day we'll have to give an account for it. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? So we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now let's read verse 25. It says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So when you hear the word of God, don't hesitate to obey. Don't be a fool, as we've seen here in our lesson. Well, thanks for listening so well. Should you be in this audience and you've never obeyed the gospel, well, you've heard it. Do you believe it? Have you obeyed it? That's what our last point was all about, right? Belief has to be coupled with obedience. It involves repenting of our sins, confessing our faith, and being baptized into Christ, just like Jesus said. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And if you'll do that, the Lord will pardon your sins and add you to his church. Acts 2 and verse 48-47. If you've done that in times past, but you've fallen away, maybe you've been guilty of some of the things that we talked about here tonight, well, you can straighten all that up and ask for forgiveness and be restored. The repentance, confession, and prayer. And so at this time, I extend to you the invitation to anyone that needs to obey the word to let that be known by coming down to the front as together we stand and sing number 902.
What can wash away?